Welcome to SB Pod. Football's back. Absolute mayhem. Especially in that 1 o'clock window right before the 4 p.m. kick. Stanford Steve is alongside. It's like you watch the games and you think, what entertains us quite like this in the absence of it? And the answer, I think, is nothing. Between the carnage of Saturday and then just the I don't even know what the word is for Sunday.
It's just good to see everybody's in a good mood and football's back.
And unless you're a Cowboy fan and then you just give up.
Yeah, and everybody wants to overreact. I said it after week 1 of college football, and it's times a million after week 1 in the NFL because everybody thinks they know everything because they watched one game, and I am not in that camp. The way the NFL has changed, the way and the amount of time that is spent on the practice field in preseason games, I still consider September as preseason, and I know it counts now, but I'm not going to overreact to anything I saw this weekend. I get it. Your team won. I'm pumped for you. If they lost, it's not the end of the world.
Explain to people, having lived during a different time, I mean, it wasn't like it was 100 years ago, but I mean, just practice is so much different with the two-a-days you live throughout at Stanford and whatever else. Just the amount of time that's spent actually practicing tackle football, shout to Kenny Mayne, it's minuscule in relation to what it once was. Now, there's probably some fine line. There's diminishing returns kicked in back in the old days where, you know, you weren't a tough guy if you actually wanted water. I mean, we understand that a lot of that caveman behavior wasn't necessary, but actually practicing blocking and tackling, I assume, was beneficial. And it's just not done anywhere near what it used to be, and it shows itself, doesn't it?
Yes. The defenses are always ahead of the offenses, especially on the lines of scrimmage. And those guys, you know, can do a lot more one-on-one stuff. They know where they got to get to on a certain thing. They know what gap they're supposed to go through on a certain blitz, whereas an offensive line is way more reactionary. And if you and I are practicing Monday through Friday, and you know, you nick an ankle or whatever, and then you know, I got a new guy coming in on Sunday, it's a whole different world, man. Like, you got to talk that much more, and it's not a helpless feeling, but you feel good after we just did 5 straight days, you know, duo blocks or you know, gap block and all that stuff.
Love that, love the gap block for 5
years.
You're
more of a gap scheme guy.
Mostly, I think everyone understands that
because you have gap integrity. That's where it starts.
You know? If you don't have gap integrity, what do you have? Not one thing.
No, but you know, and that's,
I get it.
And the defensive line are always the woofers and the talk and they'll let you know. And then I always found it interesting was on the outside, the wide receivers I always thought were ahead of the defenders because they're getting lit up in one-on-ones because that's all they have right now, where they're, you know, possibly thinking, you know what, maybe I'm not going to be in a man defense here. So it goes both ways. Obviously the cherry on top is whoever you have at quarterback for your team. And we know the NFL is all about quarterbacks. And that's why still, I will not say, I said it yesterday. You know, J-Mac, our guy, is going through and, you know, trying to get an importance of games and this. And I'm like, good for Chicago. That game means absolutely nothing to me. And people are going to, you know, go through and dice Trey Lance's performance.
Yeah, stop right there. Stop right there. Just don't do.
Yeah.
Why do that? I in our show meeting, something came up about Trey Lance. I said, did you see? It was played the monsoon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole exercise is pointless. And then, well, Chicago played in the same field. Right. And salute to Fields, who ran around in circles and found a wide open Pettis for a touchdown. And then they get a pick and they won. No argument.
Yeah.
But I found it 9-0. That was the score when San Francisco played Washington in a game where Garoppolo threw for a 150. Case Keenum, shout out, threw for 77 yards. Not a lot of offense for Washington that day, and equally horrible rainy conditions. San Francisco won the game in Washington a couple of years back. They lost the one in Chicago, but nothing that happened in that game is, in my opinion, worth concerning yourself with if you're a San Francisco fan. It was just an absolute one-off. You flush it. Now, if he looks a mess on a sunny day in Santa Rosa, well, then
Santa Clara, Scott. Get your Bay Area right.
Santa Clara, Santa Rosa. I don't know. I haven't spent enough time there, clearly. Santa Rosa's not near it.
Santa Rosa is actually where you were. Santa Rosa is right across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay.
Santa Clara is down by Groton.
By Groton?
By San Jose. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm saying.
If it's a sunny day
and he's a mess, that's a problem. All right, let me ask you. Let's work our way backwards from what we've seen most recently. And maybe it'll feel dated for our listeners by the time we talk what went on Saturday. And it does feel like it was 100 years ago because there's just so much to process. But I did write down a number of things that I don't think I'm overreacting to what I saw, but I'm willing to buy them as real that I saw on Sunday. I'll just start with this. I think what Mahomes and the Chiefs did was eye-opening. Now, I noticed that the Pro Football Focus grade for him wasn't very good. I'm just not smart enough to understand how smart you guys are. I don't know. I just saw him throw 5 touchdowns, no picks, 4 different touchdown catchers, and I'm just not smart enough to know why it wasn't good. I'm not going to concern myself with why I'm not smart enough. I thought what we saw from Mahomes yesterday was the type of accuracy, innovation, just all of it adds up to something that's very difficult to stop. And Arizona couldn't. That felt real to me.
100% agreed. And I forgot when it was. NFL Network is doing their NFL training camp, check-ins, and they got the people at different camps. And one of the days I had it on, it was the Chiefs day. And I found it fascinating. They had Andy Reid come up. They had Mahomes come up. They had Kelsey. And they were, the question was, how do you feel about everybody getting better in your division? And every single guy was like, I absolutely love it. Bring it on. We're ready. It's going to make us better. And then I think about how Andy Reid would do that with his team. And there had to be a conversation like, hey, this is what Tyreek Hill did. Who wants these numbers? Because they're out there, because we still have 15 at quarterback. He will get you the football. I promise you, we will design things to get you the football. You get open, you get the football. And that's the biggest thing to me in this league. And that's where the biggest difference makers are, is out on the edge. You can't touch these guys when they're running routes. It's a known fact. And it's the hardest thing in the world, besides pass blocking, I think, is covering guys in open field. And that system is pretty good. And it showed out yesterday.
It certainly did. And just speaking to pass catchers, just for this is a fantasy / reality type things. Davante Adams went nuts. Jamar Chase went nuts. Justin Jefferson went nuts. Kupp on Thursday night went nuts. A.J. Brown set a record for the Eagles in his very first game, went nuts. I'm gonna miss people.
Jahan Dotson.
He showing out.
Come on.
The rookie from Penn State with two touchdown catches for Washington. But it certainly, to your point, feels like early on, there a couple guys ran well. Fournette had a big day. Jonathan Taylor, who only gets $1.50 plus against Houston, did it again in a game they tied. But you saw some of those things that I guess maybe reveal where guys have a big head start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, playing cornerback, sure, if you paid me a lot of money, I guess I'd be happy to do it. But I mean, even if you're awesome at it, you're just going to get toasted constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. Diggs had a big game for Buffalo, had a touchdown. He gave up Ramsey the what for after he scored in L.A. Speaking of things you're willing to buy, I mean, Buffalo, the world's on them. And they went to L.A. and I see why. I mean, part of that was the Rams up front looked a mess.
Yep.
They couldn't keep that defense off of Stafford. And Damian Woody was explaining how Von Miller changes everything for Buffalo. So, I mean, that felt real. Green Bay looked bad, but was that Minnesota? Last year, they looked bad week one. They looked fine eventually, but Devontae was a Packer. I watched that game with Green Bay yesterday. I thought, I'm not ready to, I'm not saying sell the stock or panic or any of the rest of it. I thought it was a combination of Minnesota looked they're going to be different with the new coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a threat to Green Bay. Is that a hot take?
No, not at all. I think it's come a time. I will say, think about what Green Bay looked like last year in week one.
Of course, you got
that guy in charge. I get it. They won't look like that again. Let's just say that.
Okay.
But there is a opportunity there for the fresh mindset that Minnesota has with an offensive head coach and the guys they have on that offense,
mm-hmm.
For sure. And I look at their defense like they got some guys up front that'll get after you. And you saw
that's the issue for them. That's they just need to be better defensively. And I'm with you. I mean, I'm sure Dalvin Cook will be happy not to just be ground. You remember when you were a little kid, you had an eraser on your mm-hmm. pencil, and then it would get to the point where you'd have to bite the sides, right? And then it would be like a little sharp, like lethal, like it was like a knife on top, but that was the only way you could get some eraser to the very tippy top of it. And mm-hmm. then you'd get to the point where you'd shred the paper. I don't know. But people that are young are like, they don't even know how to write letters because they just type and hit send on their phone. But I'm saying that Cook would probably be thrilled not to be like that eraser on your elementary school pencil getting ground down to nothing if they just chuck the rock around a little bit. But I mean, Green Bay got stopped on the one. And even as bad as they looked, it's a two-score game. Green Bay's got the ball. And I said to you as we watched the game, they're going to screw around scoring. It's going to be a one-score game. And Minnesota's going to get freaked out and blow it. They didn't. They held on and won. Mm. But Green Bay didn't look good on offense, but they didn't look close to as bad as Dallas did. And that's before Dak got hurt. Of course, he's going to miss a couple months, it would appear, after surgery on his hand. But they were terrible before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, I think, will miss Cooper a lot. CeeDee's maybe more dynamic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly helps to have a great route running wide receiver one / wide receiver two, whatever way you looked at it with Cooper out there. They just couldn't seem to get open.
Yeah.
Dallas went right down the field the first time they touched the ball, got three, and never scored again. Only team that didn't score a touchdown. And again, I'll say it, that's before Dak got hurt. Salute to their defense for keeping him in that game. But I don't know, man. Like that, it's got to be a spooky feeling to look that bad, lose your quarterback, and mm-hmm. think it's the 12th of September, and not that you punt on the season because there is a long way to go, but it's mm-hmm. certainly it's as bad a feeling as you can have if you're a fan of a team, I would think, to be a Cowboy fan on this particular Monday.
Yes, but when I go back and I watch a lot of it today, so much of it, Scott, I think is Todd Bowles and that Tampa Bay defense. Every time you look at that, every play where the impact is, guys are in the right place.
I agree.
They're super aggressive.
Also
true. You're changing looks up, and they got really, really good guys.
Great play. Barrett, so, David, Vea.
Oh, God.
And then just they're just like every guy that they, whose name they say, you're like, ooh, he's good. Yeah. I liked
him in college.
Yeah. I like him in the pros too. I mean, they just step right in, slide in, and are excellent. I hear you. It wasn't like they played badly against a bad team. Dallas played poorly against a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question that I didn't mention this last night, but the more I thought about it today, I was just curious. What was Tom Brady wearing on his feet?
He has these, he's worn them since he got to Tampa. They look like
nurse shoes,
robot boots.
He's worn those since he's been there?
Yes. He's
why'd they look, why'd they look different last night?
Because I don't think they've worn the white pants with them. They always seem to wear, they go with, I don't know what they call that dark gray that they wear that's terrible, that the color of their helmets are.
Pewter, Steve.
Oh, pewter. Yeah, it's putrid is what it is.
There's a wordsmith over there. Well, you're a gear guy. I just was surprised that you
No, he's worn them. Like, he's worn them. And I think the white pants made him pop last night.
All right. I don't know. I was looking at him in retrospect going, those are interesting. Sort of some sort of orthotics going on.
Vikings going all white, too. Even the white high white socks and white leggings was interesting. No purple on the pants to match
any
the
other
jersey.
Any other gear things worth mentioning?
Well,
football you want to
say? I appreciate everyone reaching out on a college football Saturday and sending me videos of guys that are wearing shorts, spandex with thigh pads underneath them. And everyone listening to the pod and realizing it is a problem. And even you Saturday night sending me a video saying your favorite spandex with thigh pads for more of the night game. So it's out there. It just makes me laugh because I worry that guys are going to get shattered kneecaps and it's only a matter of time.
All right, Stanford Steve, I'm looking at a fella, number 94 for Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Tyreek Sapp? He's wearing full on their shorts, and I'm talking mid thigh shorts. And this is an enormous human, mm-hmm. and it you said it was a problem, and I saw it, and I said I have to send it to Stanford Steve, and I'm sure you didn't want it because like people have to be sending this to you all day, but it's mid thigh. It's and this is a. I mean, the man looks phenomenal in his uniform. I'm not knocking him. He doesn't. Mm. Like, no one would want to see me out there in that. Like, look at the who's this peepaw in the bike
that
short
pogo stick.
Can you imagine how badly it would go for me out there in the middle of a defensive line?
We get you some double thigh pads, make the quads look extra thick.
Goal line. I'm out there. I come running out. Well, I wouldn't run. I would just walk quickly. I haven't run at full speed in a long time, as we know. I would not do as well as Tyreek did, but I'm worried about you, Tyreek, because you're from the middle of your thigh down is just exposed skin. There's nothing covering it, but that's the look of the moment. I got one more headline I want to ask you about from Sunday. And I mean, look, we could go by every team and we could talk for an hour. Saquon and the Giants, they go for two. Everyone loves it when you go for two until you don't get it. I've said it 1,000 times, but the Giants got it. And they win. And that's a move Vrabel's done for Tennessee. Like it's a player's coach kind of move. It sort of shows faith, shows belief. They pitch it on a little shovel pass to Saquon. He gets hit behind the line, but shakes that off, plows through a runner at the goal line, had like a 168, I think it was, on the ground. And you saw him when they score the two to take the lead, just chuck the ball. It felt like just such a primal release.
Yeah.
And then they got to get lucky to a degree and survive a Randy Bullock kick that would have beat them, but it didn't go. And so that allows the Giants to be really happy today.
Mm-hmm.
And as a guy that grew up just despising them because of the rivalry with Washington, it's amazing to I feel like I'm showing growth here. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for Saquon Barkley. I'm happy for New York. I'll regret saying that because I have a lot of friends that are Giant fans. And so if they're good, they'll be obnoxious, just insufferably obnoxious. That's okay. We'll worry about that then. Today, I'm happy for him because I felt like Barkley looked like the guy that we remember streaking across the sky like a meteor. Do you feel like it's real what he showed yesterday?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You heard when we talked fantasy all summer, I told you I'm ready for it. He's ready for it. And you know, Giants fans from Jersey and New York and all that and everything. And I have plenty of Giants fans growing up in Connecticut that I know. They are so relieved that they have a different head coach that would make that decision because they've struck out time after time, I feel like, at the head coaching position where they just want some aggression. They want some things to be out there and they want to have something to root for. And hearing that, all night last night, and then today waking up to it, like, guys, you didn't win the Super Bowl, but I am happy for you that you have a little hope. That's all anybody wants this time of year. And no, it was great to see Saquon. He's an unbelievable talent, and they got to keep the throws short and not put the game in their quarterback's hands. If they do that, and I think the head coach is smart enough, they'll be fine.
Daboll starts out a winner, Mike McDaniel a winner, and in Miami, O'Connell a winner in Minnesota. I shouldn't have started this because now all these first-time coaches, I'm gonna skip over. We got Hackett with a chance on Monday night with Denver. Yep. Who am I missing?
Dennis Allen coached the Raiders before. Don't count him. Bears, Coach E, big win.
Eberfluser.
Yep.
I know that's not it. But you said that game didn't count.
It counts. I'm not taking anything away from it.
Eberflus and the Bears. Salute to them. Hey, the win's a win.
Yeah.
And we're definitely forgetting somebody that's a first-time coach that won. But that's how many I can remember right now off the top of my head.
It's all you need, buddy. I'm right here for you.
Thanks, pal.
No one's listening.
Is that true? Somebody normally will send a note.
Oh, they'll get on you.
Whoever we forgot, we'll remember next time.
Thanks for listening.
Before we move on here, one quick thing I'd like to mention. Encouragement, actually. To check out our friend Stanford Steve on his other podcast, Stanford Steve and the Bear, every Thursday. Steve and the Bear looking ahead to the college football weekend with lines and picking some winners as well. That's Stanford Steve and the Bear. You can follow the show wherever you're listening to this podcast.
I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Biggest upset from Saturday that you enjoyed, that you personally enjoyed?
I feel terrible for saying it, but it's Georgia Southern. To watch that game and remember last year when I watched Stanford beat the crap out of USC in week 2, and the next morning Clay Helton gets fired. And then to see him as the coach of Georgia Southern go, it's not because Frost got fired. I just thought all that in there, they had the reunion, throwback uniforms for Nebraska, and Georgia Southern, my favorite uniform in the sport also, maybe a little biased there, just kept answering. And Nebraska's offense was not the problem. It was that defense, and Georgia Southern just kept answering and answering and answering. And it was incredible to watch. And it just, for me, I'm sitting there the whole time, like, is the Sun Belt going to do this again? Because obviously Marshall and App State pulled off those upsets. And I'm just like that capped the night for that conference. And it's a good brand of ball. We follow plenty of teams. We watch all those teams in that conference. Plenty of them featured in winners. No big deal. Winners
no big
again.
Deal.
No big deal. But that was the, you know, the capper. So it was Clay Helton being, you know, having a chance to, you know, almost 365 days later, I thought that was pretty special.
That's really well put, and framing it that way is important, because everyone said, as a guy, he's as good a guy as there is in the sport. Everyone universally acknowledged that he's a wonderful dude. And he went from Los Angeles, California, to Statesboro, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's not the coach of a glamour program. He's a coach of he's a ball coach,
mm-hmm.
and a proud program that's won through the years. And man, did they play great. I'm flipping back and forth watching that on Saturday night, and they made plays. I mean, they had to make plays to win the game. And they did it. They went after they gave up the lead and gave up a touchdown late fourth. They go down the field, didn't blink, man. Had to hit a fourth down, did. Just hit play after play. And so good for him, good for that team, good for that league. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you could see it a mile away for A&M against App State. Mm-hmm. I thought I loved the spot for App State until they lost in gut-wrenching fashion at home to Carolina the week before. Mm-hmm. Like, I always wonder, how does a group of young men respond, right? But the human nature factor of that is, you're A&M. We know you got this incredible class that came in, and you beat Alabama last year, and boy, you guys love to talk on social media. We get it. Everybody does. I'm not singling you out, but, you know, a lot of chatter. And here comes the boys from Boone, and just like Georgia Southern, they're not scared of you at all. They're here to play football, and they whooped on A&M. There was a time of possession. It was like 2-1. It was, and it wasn't an accident what happened in that game. And neither was it an accident with Marshall at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, I've reached a point where I've done this for so long that I get sick of the things I always say, but it's there are upsets where it's fluky. Yeah. And then there are upsets that aren't accidents. None of these results were accidents, meaning it wasn't some goofy thing that happened where a punt bounces off somebody's elbow or something. No. App State was better than A&M from the game. And they get to leave College Station, and then they get to talk crap on social media and send out a tweet with the howdy, right? And now you got Miami and Arkansas coming in A&M. Your season's not done by any stretch of the imagination. But it's App State that gets to get chesty, and they should. And Marshall gets to feel chesty, and they should. And Georgia Southern and Clay Helton get to feel great and good for all of them. And it's why I try to tell people that when this playoff expands, there's going to be upsets. It won't be quite the same as college basketball, because you only need five dudes and you need like two really good guys and you can pull off an upset or one great shooting night. You need to have some kind of depth to survive on the field for 60 minutes in college football, but there are going to be upsets. And I don't think what happened on Saturday is a massive outlier for what we would see. What we will see when this thing expands.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and Nebraska. Nebraska's removed from their greatest days, but still, they lost to App State, Marshall, and Georgia Southern
mm-hmm.
at home. And none of them were accidents, which is pretty amazing. And just to get back to where we were a couple weeks ago in Nebraska, and you and I were both trying to sell their fans optimism.
Mm-hmm.
And now Frost's gone, and I still like you against Oklahoma.
I was just going to say, it's still there. Oklahoma's still coming to town this Saturday, and you can write everything with a win. The offense looks good. Oklahoma showed some shout-out to my Kent State squad again. Had the over, and Coach Lewis came out and bled the play clock to one every single play in the first quarter. No, it didn't. But shout out to him. That was an awesome game plan to try and hang around in the game. They end up, I'm pretty sure they ended up covering, right?
Yes, they did. Yeah. As I said in winners, there were two states that aren't states that almost made my list, San Jose and Kent. It's a shame I didn't have them on the list because they both covered. Instincts have been good, Steve. Instincts good.
You're seeing the ball well. And just to go back, App State, 41-18 minutes of time of possession. Marshall, 50 rush attempts, averaging 4.4 to run for 219 yards in that game.
That doesn't happen.
That's getting to taking it to you in the trenches. And
not an accident.
Nope.
60-minute trend is what that was.
A&M, I think it was A&M had 9 possessions, 8 first downs.
It's impossible. Crazy. And that's against a team that gave up 63 points last week. 63.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts, man. Crazy. The sport's crazy. Now, if there's a summary looking back, knowing what we know now about Frost, I don't know what it is. I can't understand how it didn't work. Trev Alberts, their AD, said he worked really, really hard. He wanted it to work. I really wanted it to work. Our boosters wanted it to work. Well, mm-hmm. This is me saying it. It didn't work. What do you go? 16-31. I cannot fathom that's what happened. And I remember thinking if it didn't work, well, then who? Well, they're, I mean, you see Matt Campbell or people saying maybe if it goes wrong for Rule and with Carolina, he could come back to college. And that guy did great at Temple, did great at Baylor. I mean, he's been an excellent college football coach. I don't know. I mean, Campbell seems to make a lot of sense regionally. But I mean, Frost made all the sense in the world and it didn't work. And it's just, I can't figure it out.
I just find it crazy. Absolutely crazy. You guys, we're probably older than our average listener. I'm not sure about that, but just people think about the old Big Eight days. Nebraska.
Hold on. If you're going to make a Big Eight reference, then yeah, we're older. We're older than our people that are listening.
You know, Nebraska, the Big Eight is. Two of the top five names on this search list. I've read Bruce Feldman. I've read Thamel, all of them. Two of the possible candidates to replace Scott Frost and be the head coach of Nebraska are the head football coach at Kansas and the head football coach at Kansas State. Think about that. Like, imagine being in a time machine and coming back from 94 and flying in today and be like, who's Nebraska going to hire? Oh, Kansas's head coach. What?
Yeah, because they're off to a sizzling 3-0 start.
Yeah.
Including a win in league.
Mm-hmm.
Where they got the pick six, which always is a reminder. When you get to OT and you got the dog, don't forget the dreaded woo-woo going the other way. I saw that final and I got like cold chills.
I watched that game. It was they got some skill, man.
Well, listen, if you're Nebraska, you know, the time for honoring yourself's long since passed. At this point, I think they understand that. They know that they're a long ways removed from what they were. Mm-hmm. And I would think that they'd be willing to do whatever it takes to be a relevant program that matters on the national landscape. And I'll say the same thing to Nebraska fans that I've said to people that I remember from my youth, you know, whether it's, I mean, Miami was beyond me being just a kid, but Alabama went through a horrendous stretch. It's just way more fun when brand names are not just good, but really good. Mm-hmm. Like, and so go Nebraska. I don't care who it is. Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I just think that you've done the weird hire where you're like it's inexplicable who you go out and you get someone that just doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do the hire that does make sense. And that's Frost, and he's not close.
No,
to good as his predecessor. And you guys got rid of Pelini. We don't need to even bring that up, but
yeah,
he was pretty good, and you decided you could be better, and you'd do anything to be 9-3. I think whatever you got to be willing to go in any direction to matter again. I just don't know what direction that is.
No, it's Scott. The other thing I think I always go back to this. There are five guys coaching in the sport that have won national titles. Five, 131 schools. And I just think about the hires that, like, we're getting to the point where the hires aren't working out because there's been so many of them. And you could say they don't have enough time. It's been bad, you know, whatever. Didn't win the games you're supposed to win. And I have to second guess every hire now.
I get the Mike Riley hire that did. I mean, and he was better than Frost.
Yeah.
But it was just so left field that the fit didn't, like, you talk about fit.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's so many buzzwords, culture, fit. Well, okay. Cristobal is a fit at Miami. Well, and maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. Frost was as perfect a fit as there could possibly be. He went 16-31.
Yep.
And Trev Alberts ate twice as much money as he would have had to have eaten in 2 weeks or three weeks if he could have gotten to October 1st. He's just like, can't wait. Got to make a move. I don't know, man. You're saying it exactly right. It's really hard to do this. And it's only gotten harder. I mean, it's like Dabo can do it. Nick can do it. Now Kirby can do it. Ryan Day can do it. I don't know. I don't know who else can do it. I don't think about what you got to do it.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. There's five of them.
That's why rooting for teams like the ones I root for. I mean, you know, if win seven or eight, if you can win seven or eight, beat a team that you're not quote unquote supposed to beat, man, I'm happier than a pig in slop.
Question for you.
I'm listening.
It just got a little emotional. I just saw Russell Wilson run out into the field back in Seattle.
Let's ride.
Can't wait to see how it plays out. You mentioned Alabama in that mix. How do you think their practices are this week with UL Monroe coming in? They go for 15 called penalties. There were more. 15 accepted penalties against them. Offense scores 20. And they don't look like the number one team. And I feel for that team this week. I feel for UL Monroe on the back end of this week because
I prefer to pronounce that Monroe.
Monroe.
I feel bad for Monroe. I think, I mean, yeah, you guys, you're catching this team at a really poor moment. Now, let's be clear though. It's noon. That's 11 in Austin. Mm-hmm. It's the temperature. You know, when you make pancakes in your house and you got that griddle. And it's you throw the butter down and it starts sizzling.
Yeah,
because I don't do great with the monitoring the gas deal. I just I want it hot so these pancakes are cooked. It was that hot. Okay.
Oh yeah.
It was really. It was the kind of heat that you could see on television where you could look at people and you'd think, "How are you college people still out there? You started drinking at breakfast."
There was people at 7 a.m. trying to get in the stadium. Like, hey.
How are you all still
upright? The teams aren't even here yet.
Salute to you. Like, I get it when it's down in Baton Rouge. That's a different species of human, as we've talked to. With such reverence, you have an ability few on earth possess. I didn't know Austin had it like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know they can go, but I didn't necessarily know it would be an early to rise day game go, as opposed to we're ready to go and locked and loaded for a late afternoon, early evening kick. But I mean, salute to Texas.
Absolutely.
He was clearly unafraid. What a shame he got hurt.
Oh,
I mean, the game was there for them. I think Sark and Texas did a great job. But I mean, Bama was, they looked vulnerable, but I mean, again, we talk about not freaking out and overreacting to what we saw in that first weekend of NFL games and turning 60 minutes of tape into either an indictment or an endorsement. Mm-hmm. But I'd say for a team that just doesn't go on the road and take on out of conference teams that are in their weight class ever. I mean, that's the third road game for him in conference. Yeah. Like, that's just not what they do. So that's, I mean, Texas is a formidable hill to climb, and they just barely got to the top. Salute to their Heisman Trophy quarterback winner. He made the one play that he had. I mean, he made more than one play, but you duck a blitzer, you find a receiver, and, you know, the kicking game, which has been such an Achilles heel for them for years, kid makes a kick, and they win. But you asked about Monroe. No, they're just, you know, you're playing a really angry team with a bunch of five stars.
Yeah, I will say this, though. For Saban, I think it's perfect. It's perfect because you tell your team, you know, what are you getting when you go on the road when you're Alabama and you're coming to town? You are getting everybody's best shot. You're getting the coaches' staff's best shot from the opposing team. You're getting the players' best shot from the opposing team. And you mentioned them. You're getting the opposing team's fans' best effort also. And they showed it. And that's where I think you put that tape on, and Nick's going to be able to teach from that. I'm not worried about Alabama at all. I know people are talking about they were lucky to win this. But you know what? Their defense didn't allow touchdowns. They stopped Texas. They had to kick field goals. And when it came down to it, the Heisman Trophy brought them down the field.
Just one more thing. One thing about Monroe before we just punt on their chances.
Yeah.
Two words. Sun Belt.
Oh, I know. Coach Bowden.
I understand. It's just – all right. Don't. I gave out three and I gave out three in winners and should have given out seven. Should have given out seven.
Yeah. So we got the Tides got Funroe coming in. Then they got Vandy coming in and then they go to Arkansas. So,
yes, sir. That team is nice.
If they give that nice effort as they did in Austin this past week in Fayetteville, they're going down.
Arkansas is nice. They're versatile slash multiple. I think they ran for almost 300 on South CAC. And I had South Carolina to hang around in the winners section, and they didn't quite get there. But Arkansas is, I'm impressed by them. They're as advertised. That's a ranked good team, and Coach Pittman in short order has made them a formidable bunch. What else do I have written down? Basically, I had NFL and NFL and college football. Those aren't the only things that are happening, but that's what I had written down.
Might have a new favorite athlete in that Alcaraz. That guy. That Alcaraz Tiafo match Friday night was insane.
I agree. Now Tiafo is a DMV guy, as folks may or may not know. So it was cool. The area was repping him big, and it was great to see him on that stage. But Alcaraz, and I say it that way because that's how he says it. This is something that I have learned through the years with golf. The Z, if you're from Spain, is TH, Olazabal, right? Olazabal.
Jose Maria
Olazabal.
Yeah.
And Alcaraz, well, if you were from Latin America, it would be a hard Z. But if you're Spanish, the Z is TH, and he pronounces it Alcaraz. So that's how I said it. I don't know if I'm saying it incorrectly, but I heard him say it that way. So that's how I say it. He's a 19-year-old who spent almost 24 hours playing matches. The thing about him, and he's obviously great because you can't beat him, but he wasn't beating people easily either. It's just the brilliance of the match against Sinner, right? The Italian player.
Yeah.
Tiafo, Rude in the final. I mean, it was just high level, spectacular stuff. He was great, and he's just 19. Maybe for a sport that neither of us, from the looks of, you can probably tell neither Steve or I, we're not walking around with a tuba, tennis balls, asking if anybody would get a set in. But I mean, we've lived during an era where Nadal, Djokovic, and Federer dominated a sport the way few sports have ever been owned. Just nice to see a new person that's young, that maybe that's one of the next wave of however many people there'll be.
Mm-hmm.
He was great.
Awesome.
Steve, the Orioles aren't going to go to the playoffs, but you know what? They gave me hope this year.
They got you to football season.
They did. They did.
That's the start.
Exactly. It beats the snot out of being 49 and 100 and something. And I appreciate optimism. I always say optimism is cost the same. Well, I feel optimistic about the Orioles for the first time in a while. That's a good one.
Love to hear it.
Thanks, bud. Anything terrible going around the house that we need to update people on? We've been doing all right. School's good.
School's good. We're great.
Yeah.
I walked into the store today, and I couldn't help but grab one, because you and I have had some conversations recently about some different candies, and I think I got you to come around on Nerds. Is that true? Nerds are fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know why I was anti-nerd. I want to apologize to the nerd community.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I'm very pro Sweet Tart, and Nerds are like Sweet Tarts, only way more flavorful.
Ooh. All right. Good. Cause I walked into the store today and bought a bag that has 125 boxes of Nerds in it. And I brought it into work. It's time to go to work. I have some Nerds.
All right. So if you'll excuse me, Steve and I have a show to do tonight following Monday Night Football. And if I seem like Beavis when he turns into the Great Cornholio, it's because I just mashed up a bunch of Nerds and just snorted lines like Tony Montana. I think they're supposed to be eaten. I don't think you're supposed to actually ingest those nasally. So, all right, let's go get some Nerds.
Let's ride.
Steve, let's ride.